Welcome to Wokeland, y'all.
Welcome back.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
It's been a long time. I say this every time, but it's always a long time.
This time it has actually been a little, it's been a while.
Do you want to say why or?
Why? Why has it been a while?
Did we miss a month of recording?
I don't know, but.
But we're back.
Either way, we're back. Doesn't matter. We're here.
Yes.
With another special episode.
Very special.
Black-owned businesses in the Bay.
Mm.
For us, by us, FUBU.
Yes.
This episode, like, we wanted to do this episode for so long, and we're super happy because we have some super special guests with us here in the studio to talk about how they've been able to build their brands, their businesses, survive and thrive out here. You know, it's not easy to survive.
Right. And they're doing it.
As a Black-owned business.
Right. So. And they're doing it for the culture. So yes. Let's intro real quick our guests. So we'll start with Tamira. Solely Vegan.
Hello.
Hi. We have Mr. Kaba here from Red Bay Coffee.
What's up?
And of course, we got Town Biz Cheney's in the house.
Hi, y'all.
Hello. Town Biz, et cetera, because when looking you up, there were a couple of other things that I think you kind of have your hand in. So we got to talk about that in a second.
Yes.
Yeah.
But all of you guys kind of capture different elements of small businesses in Oakland. Restaurants, coffee,
apparel,
arts,
cannabis.
I mean... But food is an art form. So it's all, I guess we can say all coffee is an art form.
Yeah.
So let's talk about why, maybe with you first, Tamira, why soul food and why vegan food in Oakland?
So I'm from Oakland.
Okay.
My family is from Louisiana. Mm. And I turned vegan when I was 17. So it was kind of a natural fusion to marry vegan and Creole food, where specifically our food is specifically from New Orleans.
Okay.
And so it was just, you know, I started cooking when I got pregnant with my son. I got pregnant with my son when I was about 18, had him when I was 19. And like I said, I had already been vegan. So I said, okay, eating out is not an option. I got to cook. And so I got in the kitchen, developed my, you know, my flavors, mixing my own spices, et cetera. And, yeah, I found out I was pretty good at it. My mother has always been a phenomenal cook. Grandmother cook. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from a long line of really, really great cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother actually primarily raised us vegetarian, but we were not vegetarian, but most of our meals were. But my grandfather was a huge influence on me in terms of work ethic.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that man is definitely a star. Was a star.
Yay.
Yeah, my eyes for sure.
That's shout true. Out to him. And shout out to New Orleans.
Shout out to
Zula. Oh my God.
The
love
best
New Orleans.
Food ever.
New Orleans just rocks me like a baby. So yes. I land, it just, yeah.
Something special. That's a blessed. Yeah. That's a blessed place.
Yeah.
For sure. And Kaba, what about Africa's gift to the world? Has you so passionate about ethical sourcing and manufacturing practices, and why in Oakland?
Well, you know, that is just the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a product of my environment. I was born in San Francisco, actually, and raised there in the mid, late 60s, specifically in Haight-Ashbury, was my birth home. Moved around the city and then went to SF State in the late 80s, early 90s, which was a, you know, hotbed of political activity and really a legendary activist sort of environment, with the, you know, it being the first Black Studies department in the country, the first Ethnic Studies department in the country. So so the environments that really formed my value system. You know, my mother, a very, you know, conscientious and woke woman. So those are really the building blocks of, in terms of how I formed, you know, how I'm going to conduct my relationships in the world, whether it's, you know, through my art practice or through, you know, a business, any business really.
Mm-hmm.
So, and really living in Oakland for more than 20 years and raising two daughters here, product of this environment also. And, you know, so there's no shortage of do-it-yourself and ethical practices here in Oakland. So, yeah, that's the why, and that's why here too.
Yeah. Okay. And Chaney, town biz, what's good, et cetera. Town biz, et cetera. So I mean, feel free to talk about all the other things.
It's like a collective.
Yeah. So I have a few different businesses. You know, I got my start in the nightlife community, producing and curating events. And from there, 2.5 years ago, opened Town Biz. I'm also part of a cannabis collective, 100% queer owned. And we have opened a dispensary in Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
And we're opening some dispensaries here in California also. But yeah, I'm also an Oakland native. My family came from Texas. Most Oakland natives either came from New Orleans or Texas. I grew up in East Oakland and pretty much wanted to open Town Business, an offering to, you know, the people who are still here and the people who understand what a town business is, because it's not for everybody.
Right.
And also just a way to represent and preserve some of the culture that we still, you know, that we still have, and also work as an incubator for smaller businesses. And so we work with other designers and artists to get them into a store where they might, you know, not be able to. Currently at the moment, I'm just online until we secure another spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the moment we're, you know, doing pop-ups and online orders and still using the platform to support other small businesses that's in Oakland also.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow.
And you're, if I'm not mistaken, your tagline is Oakland doing business with Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So can you expand on that? Like, what does that mean?
Well, all of the vendors and other entrepreneurs that are in Town Biz are Oakland based.
Okay.
And so it's pretty much supporting other vendors and also other small businesses. Like, I'm just excited to be here with these two. You know, I used to, you know, come to the farmer's market religiously to make sure I got my, you know, my Sully Vegan, and seeing you and your son grow, you know, grow that business. I know Kaba's whole family, you know, it's always great to see them and seeing them as a example of how, you know, you could work as a family and still support, you know, the community. And so it's not just about us, but it's about, you know, all of us that are here, you know, in Oakland and contributing to the economy here as well.
Amazing.
And so that's where the tagline Oakland doing business with Oakland comes from.
Dope.
Very nice. Yeah, and shout out to Owl and Wood too, by the way.
Yeah.
One time.
Owl and Wood is Kaba's wife's business.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So,
make sure you guys go and check them out as well.
Yes.
The culture of small businesses, I mean, it is like imperative for the economy, national and local economy, I think. Excuse me. And small businesses is defined by having 500 employees or less. Is that correct?
There are different measurements.
Okay,
but
different
metrics. That's one of them. Yeah.
Okay. And so much of small businesses are imperative to the growth of the economy. How does that play a role in like your business model, your business practices?
In terms of
like employment and you know, securing jobs for the community, things like that. Is that
So I know that, you know, I grew up watching my mother work very hard. No less than 2 jobs, most of the times 3.
Mm-hmm.
And still couldn't feed us. Mm-hmm. There's 3 of us. I'm the youngest of 3. And so I have a relationship with my staff in a way that I want them to be able to eat off of Solely Vegan.
Mm.
So everybody's paid well, and they're going to get a raise in 2019. I haven't told them that. But a lot of people
exclusive.
Say, okay, well, you know, you can't do that. It's, you know, so far above what everybody else is paying or whatever. But, I mean, I got people with families. And like I said, I grew up with nothing, you know, and a lot of decisions were made because we didn't have anything and because my mother couldn't feed us.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, you know, we you know, she at some point had to leave. You know, we stayed in a situation that wasn't the best. I started the business because I wanted to make sure that my family never had to want for anything. And I don't value what money stands for. I don't agree with, you know, the way money works, but I do understand that, you know, unfortunately, it makes a difference between you being able to feed your children and not feed your kids. Mm-hmm. So my staff, I love them. And I try to take care of everybody as best I can. And, you know, this is not only just with, you know, their hourly wage, but anything extra if I find out they're going through something. I mean, all this shit.
It's hard.
It's real.
It's hard. You know what I'm saying? It counts. So, you know, I believe that for the most part, I got some solid people who really, really work hard. And I come from hard work. Mm-hmm. I value and I respect hard work. And I just believe in people, you know, treating people well and just, I don't know, just, you know, giving to them in that way, if that makes sense. I don't know. Taking care of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to give so much to Solely Vegan and then have to go struggle. I don't like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that I feel like a lot of the smaller business, like small businesses, like built from the ground up that you guys are like, you know, trying to grow. I feel like it's you guys that are the ones that are paying attention to like, what's the word? Like payment, like equal opportunity, like making sure people are fairly paid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like if you're working, you know, just because you're working an hourly job doesn't mean that you can't be able to go rent an apartment or like, you know, feed your family or like eat. So, and I know, Kay, but like your business, I think it's a co-op also, right?
No, it's actually not a co-op, but we almost treat people like it's a co-op.
Okay.
So, you know, so but we do implement some profit sharing and some other initiatives to take care of people. I think, you know, to address the overall sentiment is that basically if you can't, you know, really afford, if your business can't afford to take care of your employees where they're not sort of working full time and still in poverty, then you probably don't really need to be in business, you know, and because really, unfortunately, this, you know, there are some protections for workers in this country, but it's also pretty easy to start a business structured around exploiting people. And it's way too easy for that. So it's one thing to run a business and do try to do right by your employees. I guess my goal was really trying to do that, but make it attractive to other employers, right? So I'm trying to strive for models where other people see it as a competitive advantage to have good business practices, where you're taking care of your employees and taking care of your vendors and the earth. And if you could do this, and what we're trying to do is, you know, do this, and we've gotten, you know, a fair amount of just recognition for that. So, yeah, I mean, I would consider us successful if we could see other businesses being influenced by some of those practices.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's not, that's not easy to do, especially as I know you guys have been around for about 5 years, Red Bay, and you have been around since 2009, which was
the restaurant.
Recession, right?
Yeah.
The restaurant, the restaurant itself. Yeah. So, I mean, how do you obtain capital or buzz in order to put you in a place where you can pay competitive wages to allow people to pay rent? And especially now, fast forward to 2018, where, you know, a one-bedroom apartment
ridiculous
with roaches and mold is, you know, $2,500 or whatever egregious number it is, you know? Like, how were you able to start there, build, and then be able to kind of give back to your employees that way?
So I will say that I am not a religious person, but Solely Vegan is God's child. Like, there was no logical reason why we should have made it. It was all prayer and hard work. It was getting on my knees, scrubbing the floors. You know, I secured the place. My landlord didn't know why she was leasing it to me. She didn't know why, you know. Everything was just kind of in divine order. And it's just work, hard work. I never received any capital for Solely Vegan. No loans, no grants, no nothing. Day one, what I made, went to get my produce the next day. I had one pair of pants that I had to wash every night. You know, there was times when I couldn't afford staff, so I got a 2,600, a little over 2,600 square foot place. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine, no staff. And so I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking, I'm prepping, I'm cooking, I'm serving. Then end of the day, I'm cleaning, 20-hour work days. Now I'm down to 16, 18. But that's only because I cultivate my child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But listen, entrepreneurialism mm-hmm. is not glamorous. Mm-hmm. It's literally about you're betting on yourself. And how miraculous is that? How beautiful is that for you to literally bet on, you're betting on yourself. You're betting on your vision. Mm-hmm. And most of us haven't had a cupcake childhood. Mm-hmm. I wasn't taught to believe in myself. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It was something that I just, God sent. You know, but it's not a glamorous life. It's a lonely life. And when you, you know, when you hit in the grind, people are not necessarily, they're not going to be there with you. And they won't understand your conversation when you're talking about your trials and your challenges. The average person is not going to understand that. They're really going to look at you like, you got your own business. Mm-hmm. You're doing good. You're right. Solid. Like, mm-hmm. but not understanding what it takes to actually. Because getting it has nothing to do with maintaining it. Mm-hmm. And maintaining it has nothing to do with growing it. Three completely separate beasts.
Right.
And so so with me, just hard work and prayer. That's it. Divine order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, the first year and a half of opening Town Biz in a dispensary, I was houseless. And I had, you know, we had one employee, and so I wasn't paying myself. That was going to, you know, the employee.
Yeah.
And I had, and I eventually secured a spot and was renting, you know, a room. But, you know, as she was saying, it's not glamorous. And, you know, I think that you have to have a certain amount of inner strength. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I'm blessed to have support, you know, of a team, even though we all do separate things. You know, we come together collectively, you know, to make it work. I also feel that a lot of the success and tools that I've been able to use, I definitely have to give a shout out to ICA, Fund Good Jobs, and Michael Bush and those people over there. Like, I took that course and walked away with so many things that I was able to bring back to the business to help it grow, because I didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't know about investments and, you mm-hmm. know, convertible notes and all that other stuff and how to get, you know, and how to get money. Mm-hmm. I know how to raise money, which mm-hmm. is different.
Right.
And I was able to do a successful raise, you know, for Town Biz to maintain mm-hmm. The business. But I think that, you know, you have to be a pretty strong person in mind and in spirit. And
you gotta be a beast.
Right. You have mm-hmm. to be a beast. And, you know, if you look at a lot of small businesses, especially in Oakland, they don't have a lot of employees, depending on what type mm-hmm. of business it is, right? Because of the, you know, of the cost. Mm-hmm. I feel that there needs to be more programs implemented from the city to help people have some type of price break mm-hmm. To where you can have, you know, because people are choosing between rent and employees, right? Mm-hmm. And some people still aren't paying themselves. I know some businesses mm-hmm. that have been doing raises to maintain for years to stay downtown. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the small businesses that have gone out of business have been primarily women owned, black women owned business from what I've seen just in the general downtown area. But, you know, luckily we are in a place to pay our employees a livable wage. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to have a really good retention. Mm-hmm. You know, been open 2.5 years and only had 2 people and they left, mm-hmm. you know, well, 1 person left and 1 person, you know, unfortunately, you know, had to go because we do invest a lot in our employees. But mm-hmm. I'm very stern on boundaries as well.
That's right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm responsible for all of this, including paying you.
Absolutely.
So we need to work as a team mm-hmm. if you want to, you know, really make this work. That's why people might see us as a co-op as well, because I believe in empowering people mm-hmm. and giving them the tools that they need to make the business work, but also to make whatever it is that they want to do work, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel that everybody should be a worker for the rest of their lives if that's something that they don't want to do. And as business owners, you know, you could bring people in to work for you, but also they could end up working with you mm-hmm. and bringing in other, you know, other things. So I definitely believe in investing in people mm-hmm. who, you know, who want to come along, you know, for that ride. And I've noticed that people are more dedicated to
the job,
to the job. And, you know, that can relieve some anxiety, you know, mm-hmm. for me and make the environment for everybody that's coming in and also for the community, too. Mm-hmm. People want to spend money where they know that employees are being taken care of mm-hmm. and where businesses are being responsible to the communities Absolutely. That we're serving.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Really important.
Employers, like, if you take care of your people, they will take care of you. It's so simple.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
It's almost that, like, hood politics of, like, you feeding people mm-hmm. and people eating, they're going to take care of you, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got to feed the streets.
Mm-hmm. And the community will recognize that.
Exactly.
And they'll do business with you.
Exactly.
Right.
But that's a, you know, that's a huge topic, right? So how do we get these things going? How do we pull off entrepreneurism? Mm-hmm. And you know, very often, you know, it's, you know, if, depending on what your business model is, it's really helpful to test your concept, mm-hmm. you know, in small ways, whether it's, you know, at the farmer's market before you sign up on a, you know, some expensive lease for a restaurant or some retail storefront. Mm-hmm. It is trying to really hone in and tighten up your branding and your outreach and really doing so much of that work before you leap into the big financial commitments to run brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. You know, so I started Red Bay in my garage. Mm-hmm. So it was a little one-car garage, you know, with the ceiling as high as my hat. But it opened up into the, you know, into my yard. And so that was a beautiful opportunity and space and, you know, and privilege to have a home to be able to do that. And, you know, another big piece of it is education and training. And, you know, I took in some of the same classes as Cheney with the 8 Factors and Michael Bush and Inner City Advisors. And
I was in that
you
class
were in that class.
Well,
yeah. So,
okay, you know, we need to take this class. I don't know what this class is, but
yes,
we're going to take
it. And it helps if you have already sort of started your business. But yeah, there's so much to say about all of that. But, you know, in terms of a small business is where we're starting. Mm-hmm. You know, for sure, Red Bay is striking and aiming to not be a small business. We want to be a big business. And, you know, we're making the moves and trying to lay the foundation. But I can't say enough about really just hiring well, mm-hmm. building a team, you know, and if it's not the right, you know, people, you know, you got to let them go as fast as possible and correct course, because you really don't have a lot of oxygen. You don't have a lot of time to play. You know, this is very serious. Most entrepreneurs, well, I don't know what most entrepreneurs are doing. The people in this room, you know, we're putting everything on the line.
Everything.
It's not just, you know, a side hustle. You know, this is not like, oh, I failed that startup, I'll start another one, right? We don't always have those same opportunities. So,
right.
Yes, it's very, very real.
And let's, like, I want to, because I think one thing that we've all noticed, obviously, like, a lot of businesses in Oakland that were kind of born and bred in Oakland, but especially like Black owned businesses in Oakland have opened, and they've, you know, something or another has led to them having to close. And so even in San Francisco, like I just sent Elsa an article today that Farmer Brown is closing in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So there's something to be said about, you know, I mean, you guys have been, you know, you guys have been open for some time, you know, I mean, to me, even being able to stay open for more than a year, that's a feat in itself. So what's the like the magic sauce of like being able to like stay open and like maintain? I know it's a lot of work. I know, like you said, you're putting everything on the line. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of other people have done that too and haven't been able to survive.
Tenacity.
So, yeah.
Perseverance. you know, just being smart.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily have to have a business degree, but you know, you still gotta be smart. You right. can't be, I mean, you gotta be like above average smart.
Yeah.
Right.
Above average. So that's like not bees in your class.
Yeah.
Right. It does not happen on accident.
It does not happen on accident. Mm-hmm. And you know, and you know, and then some things that are just, it's timing. Mm-hmm. Is it the right time for this beautiful concept that you're talking about?
That's right.
Cause you might be a little ahead of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or you might be late.
Yeah.
Right. So it's there's a lot of external things also. There's the economy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So there's, you know, what's happening in the economy when you're starting your business, right? Mm-hmm. You're gearing up, you know, for you're already in business, you're gearing up for an investment, and then the economy goes bad and investors get scary and right. you know, so it's luck. I'm a little hesitant to use the word luck, but mm-hmm. it's just a lot of external forces that are outside of your control as well.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a science and an art. Like mm-hmm. to obtain a business and start running and have your operation going is one thing, but then to be able to sustain, because we all know like all of the damning statistics, right, about being a new business or a small business owner, but to be around for a year, five mm-hmm. years, 10 years coming up, 9 years?
Yeah, we're at 9.5 years.
Nine and a half years,
and that's a blessing. Yeah.
Like, can you imagine?
Yeah,
it's all blessings. Yeah, and we opened up mm-hmm. in 2009.
Nine, yeah.
So, and I started in 2006, November of 2006.
Okay.
So people did not really understand vegan.
Right.
So we got the laughs and all the stuff, and they was like, "Vegan? Yeah. Oh, hi, you can't do that." I was like, "That's all right. Just taste it.
Yeah.
You know, just taste it. You know." And then when we opened, which is again why I couldn't afford the staff, you know, because let's just say the 200 people that supported me at the farmer's market altogether, I can't sustain with just those 200 people. Now I got a brick and mortar and rent and all that stuff or whatever. So it is. It's perseverance. It's just like I said, just really believe. For me, it's believing in my product. It's mm-hmm. believing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's believing what I'm feeding the community. It's really, I don't just sell food. I sell love. Like mm-hmm. everything Solely Vegan is everything in my veins. Mm-hmm. And I offered myself mm-hmm. and I just seen what the universe gave back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's hard to do it just for the money.
Yeah.
It's because that won't.
It's not lucrative.
That really won't. It's hard to sustain you. And as much as you think, oh, no, but I want money and that's what's going to sustain me. It won't, because mm-hmm. it's going to get hard and there won't be any money.
Right.
Right.
Right. And, you know, so, you know, I won't brag about my woes and all that, but just money is you have to have a higher and deeper purpose.
For sure.
You've got to be getting that feedback, that mm-hmm. love back from the community,
mm-hmm.
that, just affirmation, you know, so that's important, you know, hug your local entrepreneur.
Definitely.
Definitely support, you know. Mm-hmm. I just want to answer the question about how you know folks are, you know, able to maintain, and everything that they said is, you know, is true, but the economy does play a big part in it. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have a great business, but if your rent is $3,500.
Yeah.
And then you're worried. Because that's a real thing. When I first, when I first opened, I was like, if they increase this rent, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And that's something that's, always in the back of your mind, because you also have your own personal, rent and bills and all of that. And unfortunately, a lot of small businesses are unable to maintain because they can't keep employees because employees can't afford to live here.
Yeah.
And so they have all of this turnover from people who could be a good employee, but they're like, what you're paying me isn't helping me sustain. So I got to move further out.
Yeah.
And so that's a reality that a lot of people, are facing. So within gentrification and everything that's happening, how can we help people, sustain? Everybody can't go the investment route depending on what they're doing to take in, certain things. Loans are iffy. I had did a loan when I had first opened, and I kind of regret it because I'm like, I could have just raised that money on my own. And so I think there needs to be, more support from a local and even a state level, because small businesses are important, because most of them are run by people who are from, from the community that live here. And I could speak for the people in this room that majority of the business came from word of mouth, because the community is committed to seeing us thrive. And so I would like to see just more support for small businesses, especially women owned businesses.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of sisters out here struggling, and it's really bad because they have things to offer. And some people, are leaving Oakland to go start their businesses because it's just easier and less stressful because of the cost and the overhead.
Well, shout out to Just Be Market, the Make Do Market.
Makers Lab.
Show
and Tell. Super Juice.
Super Juice, Culture Collective.
Those people that are,
Badiono. It's a lot of people.
Doing
the damn thing.
Women-owned business.
And Chaney, speaking on gentrification, I mean, how have you guys seen that kind of impact your business, if at all? I mean, I know you are more online and have digital stuff going on, but you say you have pop-ups, vegan food. I don't know how gentrification, I don't know if the demand or if the market segment is larger within a gentrified population. I'm not sure. And everyone loves coffee. So I'm curious to know how that can shift.
Yeah. I think, Red Bay Coffee and Solely Vegan may share something there where, in a gentrifying, environment, both of those items are something that increase in demand. So there's a tension between the, this sort of that demand, but also the rising cost that same market represents of your employees. So it's harder for them to be here, but they're also bringing more opportunities, to grow the business as well. So there's a tension that just has to be addressed.
Yeah. How do we do that?
Well, we do it by, finding ways to support our employees, and trying to, finding a way to pay livable wages, whether it's, whether you can afford to pay a higher wage or you do profit sharing, there's bonus structures if we hit these numbers. I mean, so getting people incentivized. There are other ways, shared sort of retail, co-retail, which is, this is nothing new, but it's a growing trend. They just passed a law in the city to make it easier for businesses to cohabitate in the same space. So, it's some of those are going to be the solutions that we need to try to find out and figure out.
Right.
Because it's, just one person, one business having a whole storefront, and you don't really see enough of these little small sort of micro stores, which yeah. I always thought would be a bigger draw. There's like one block on 15th Street, right, where they have all those little shops. And they were paying like $500 a rent in those shops. And that's, you could run a business. On that. You don't need a lot of space.
That's the block where we started.
See, I mean, so, and you'll grow out of it. And you'll grow your business. But we need more of those kind of opportunities. Where more shared sort of semi, you know, food halls or little markets where vendors and but that are nice and that we're some place where people want to be.
And you will see more of that. I was in New York for the summer. And I saw lots of businesses. Yeah. And honestly, you know, Town Biz has been sharing a space with Soul Space
For almost Soul Space.
Shout out to Jeff and everyone over there and the Oak Stop crew. Thank them because when we became displaced, they were like, come over here. And so, but when I was in New York, I noticed that there were a lot of businesses co-sharing space, mainly in Manhattan where it's expensive. In other places downtown, and you will see that trend in San Francisco and Oakland because Culture Collective and Show and Tell they're doing it because people are trying to maintain. So why not split the cost of the rent and and everything? So there were certain clothing stores that had cafes inside, and a lot of people were incorporating cafes into. Some of the other bits. There was a hair salon that had their salon was in the back and they had a the cafe in the front. And so I think those would be some solutions to
and it makes it a more interesting experience.
It does. Right?
So and I mean even if taking the rent out of the equation, it just makes it a more interesting. So there's a bookstore, a cafe, and a hair salon in the back.
Right.
So now we're also sharing some marketing efforts. We're sharing customers. I think that's really part of the solution.
And that's how we started off. Like, honestly, Town Biz was downstairs and the cannabis dispensary was upstairs, under the law at that time. And so, that's how we were able to, grow, a lot of our base. But going back to what you're saying about coffee, and vegan, cannabis is the same. Everyone consumes it. And so it's one of those industries to where it's important to keep the culture at the forefront, and the movement at the forefront, but everybody consumes. And so it's also about hiring our folks and taking, and that's the difference between folks like us and people who come in and just put a Black Lives Matter sign in their window and have no Black employees or don't invest, into, into the Black communities. And we all know, who are the real folks investing into or taking community into consideration versus taking advantage, of community.
That's so true. That's so true. Wow. I didn't learn any of this in my business law class in college. But it seems, but technology also changes kind of like the business model and how you market yourself too, right? So I'm sure that's probably, may have shifted your marketing strategies. Yeah. Shifting gears slightly, operating a business and making it successful, I mean, that's a success in and of itself, but you have to have a good product, right? Like your food has to be bomb.com. Your coffee has to compete with the likes of, can I call
everybody.
Their name? Everybody. We're not going to call their
everybody.
Names.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody.
Even with weed, dispensaries are popping up left and right.
T-shirt companies.
Everybody has a crafty little slogan. Mm-hmm. Not little, a crafty slogan. And also, too, you got to compete with the boys on the street who are selling weed, who were the original pioneers, right? So how do you ensure that your product is great? Whatever your product is, how do you ensure that it goes through all of the proper research and development, if you will, and that people will actually
that people
like
want
it?
People
want it. How do you know?
Well, I always say that you can get weed anywhere.
Okay.
This is I used to buy my weed at Beacon Gas Station, off of Foothill.
Shout out.
So you can get weed anywhere, but it's about the experience, the quality.
Okay, talk about it.
The people, you know, that's there. We started off literally in a small closet. In a small closet with, you know, small. But being that we were already invested in the community before doing that, word of mouth, yeah, right? And also the experience that you get, and I won't take too much time, but one of the motivating reasons for, you know, going into cannabis and starting the People's Dispensary was because I got tired of going into spaces and not being taken into consideration and not feeling appreciated. I also have hyperthyroidism, known as Graves' disease also, and no one ever asked about, you know, anything.
What you're going through.
What I'm going through, you know. I just felt that they just saw me as another N-word coming off the street that wanted to get high. And right now we're at a time to where, you know, people want to go into spaces and feel appreciated and feel loved. And so people come and there's, you know, different options. But what do you need based on how you feel? Right. And I think that having folks of color and queer people and Black people behind the counter serving you is a different comfort level in going into spaces and buying weed. A majority of the people, everyone deals with anxiety right now.
Yeah.
And so one of my things is making sure that we tap into, you know, how people are feeling based how, you know, how they come in. So I always ask, you know, how you feeling today or what do you feel like today? And based on the answer, then I could best recommend what it is that you, you know, that you need. I know a majority of the people, I know their names, you know, that come in. I know what they bought last time. And so, again, you could get weed anywhere, but are you getting that experience of being seen and feeling appreciated? And also knowing that your purchase is
staying going, in the community.
Yeah, it's staying into the community. Yeah, in hiring folks, you know, I've had a cannabis card since 2003. And I remember going in, you would rarely see Black folks. You would, you know, you damn sure wouldn't see any, you know, folks of color who were like trans or, you know, gender binary. And the industry is still, you know, it's still it's very stressful because now we're at the point to where we're having to deal with big businesses. It's just another it's another almost like how tech was, but on steroids, because there's more money and and the access for Black folks to get in, we're, you know, on less than 2%. So dealing with all of those dynamics, but I feel that regardless, just going back into investing in the community will always ride with you over some of the big businesses. That, you know, the newcomers, maybe not as as much unless they get, you know, the word of mouth. But the core community, I feel, will be there for you and support you if you have the product that they need, but also the service.
And can I, expanding on what you were saying, and this is a question for all of you guys. So the Black dollar, like, circulates within the Black community for less than 24 hours. So, but there's that also that group of Black people who are like, pretty much like, you know, you try to support Black people and they let you down. Like, they're pretty much, you know, they're not looking for Black owned businesses. And if they do, they, you know, they might hold you to a higher standard than what they would hold like Starbucks or like American Apparel or, you know, whatever, McDonald's, I don't know. So what do you guys have to say to basically the idea of supporting Black businesses and keeping that dollar circulating, but also the people who are like, okay, well, I'm trying to support Black people, but y'all letting me down.
Talk to them. Talk to them. I had this this one place that I was patronizing, and I still patronize her, but actually she moved to Texas, so I buy her stuff online now. But every time I go in her establishment, everybody had an attitude. Everybody was like hella mean. So I told her, I'm like, look, I'm not gonna stop coming. I'm really not going to stop coming. I know I can order these same products for a lesser price, such and such or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the point is that, you know, we got to support each other. Yeah. I mean,
right.
Period.
And so I talked to him, you know, and it didn't really get better. But, you know, I still patronized her. And then she, like I said, she moved to Texas and I still follow her. I still purchase her products. I think that we should just have a conversation.
Yeah.
Just have a conversation and say, look, you know, this is how I feel. Folks got an attitude. And then it's I think it's important. And for me, you know, a lot of my longtime solely veganites, they email me. They email me or they text me. They like, look, girl at the front counter was not okay. And that's great because then that can make, you know, that helps me. That's quality control. I can go back. I can talk to her because I got, you know, a couple, you know, younger sisters, you know what I'm saying, who just, you know, people go through different stuff. And so, like I said, I try to cultivate my people, my staff. And so I put back into them, you know, energy, et cetera. And so I'm like, look, okay, you know, your attitude is up and down. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what I do tell my staff is that, look, I love the people that come through here. Like, this is not just a restaurant where you just, you know, you serve in and it's empty. Like, I love the people that come through here. And I feel partially responsible for their health because I have people who eat there two times a day, you know, 3 days a week. So, you know, everything that we do is just, it's love, you know what I'm saying? So, but I would say have a conversation. And if I walk into your establishment and I'm not treated well, then I'd be like, hey, you know, such and such, you know, something, but don't just stop coming. Like, don't just stop going, you know, you have to just have a conversation and try to contact the owner or whatever, and talk to the person that's giving you the bad service too. I mean, just have a conversation. Sometimes it's just as simple as a conversation.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's not even that, you know, it's not even that heavy. Just have the conversation and let people know what energy they're giving off. Because sometimes people don't know because we coming from a place of whatever hurt or whatever we're dealing with. So let me know who I'm coming off to you. Let me know if I offended you, you know, so then I can correct my behavior.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think sometimes it's just as simple as a conversation.
There's always room, you know, for correction.
Yeah.
We can all be corrected.
Don't go talking about the business.
Right. Girl, you see, their produce was bad. I ain't going back there.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, we got to give each other a chance to fix it.
Yeah, that's true. Why do we have that expectation? Why do we affix that on ourselves? Like, we frequent these restaurants for decades, really. I mean, how many times have we grown up to these franchises and these chains and they've messed up our orders or done some kind of weird activity and we go back.
Right.
But with our own, you know, one bad apple and it's like, it's over, it's done. Canceled.
Yeah, I don't go to places where they don't care about what they serve me.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know. I go to a Jamaican restaurant, I know I'm going to wait a while.
Yeah.
Right. I know that if somebody cooked, somebody
even
that's
though the
real,
food is look, already made.
Somebody cooked it though.
Yeah. Right. Well, at some point, somebody cooked it.
I don't know why it's taking so long.
Right.
The rice and peas and the jerk
don't
chicken is sitting
right.
there.
Right. You know this.
What?
It's like give your people a chance, basically. Yeah. Like give your people a chance to, like, you know, even if it's taking a little long, just know that they're doing their best. They're putting love into it. They're trying. Like, you know, holding us to a different standard is not right.
It's
You know, I think nowadays people are becoming more conscious of supporting Black businesses and actually making a point to do it. But yeah,
shout
we
out
gotta
to
get
the
more
millennials.
People.
Yeah.
But you know, but I'll also say that we need to be on our
right? But don't be right.
I won't address the quality issue, but for sure, because it's in coffee. That's a long story. But for sure, your product has got to be on point first, and then still, it's still a long shot if you're going to be successful. But that's the starting point. In terms of, you know, Black business. So, you know, a lot of, you know, as a consumer, you know, I'm very intentional and always have been about where I spend every dollar. So really that was one of the exciting things about when I advanced my business outside of just as a photographer and an artist, where I was actually opened my first coffee shop and I was buying stuff. And you could just add a couple of zeros to what you would normally buy in your normal groceries.
Right.
And it's power, mm-hmm. you know, and you could do a lot with that power. And, you know, we would go out of our way. You mentioned Farmer Brown. So Jay Foster, you know, the founder of Farmer mm-hmm. Brown, you know, he'd kind of turned me on to the whole industry. And mm-hmm. he and I would take trips down to Fresno and meet with the Black farmers of California, mm-hmm. you know, to arrange and, you know, and work with them. You know, and you know, and just tap into their struggles and talk to the farmers. And they're like, well, it would really help us if you could tell us what you want ahead of time. So we're not just growing and, you know, right. and speculating right. on what right. to grow. Yeah. So, you know, the tea providers. Mm-hmm. So really we try to do as a business, try to support other businesses and vendors mm-hmm. The best we can. And but, you know, but we hold our people to high expectations
Absolutely.
And standards.
Yeah,
too mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, right. yeah mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah, we have to. Mm-hmm. I think we have to hold standards for ourselves, and customers have to hold their own standards too. Like, I'm tired of people coming in thinking that they can get a T-shirt for $10, mm-hmm. you know, and then want to complain about it, but they have on like some Yeezys or something, mm-hmm. you know. And people have to know quality too. One of the things that I do like is seeing people, you know, with something that they purchased from us and like, I've had this. Mm-hmm. I wear everything, you know, that we have on purpose because mm-hmm. I want to know, yeah. you know, how the wear is and, you know, and all of that. And for my own purchasing, you know, we're using some of the same materials that some of these, you know, higher end stores are mm-hmm. using, but that's what I want to wear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I don't want a T-shirt that's going to, you know, last three washes or the mm-hmm. ink, you know, fades and comes off. And I also have a standard, you know, for some of the vendors that I've worked with. I had some people come in with some great designs, but I'm like, the quality that you're using, I can't sell under my store.
Yeah.
And so I don't mind consulting people, you know, and putting them up on game mm-hmm. and letting them know what to get. And that same vendor switched the materials, you know, and the ink that he had to be more, you know, in alignment with what we had. Mm-hmm. And we actually do use the same cotton count as American Apparel. Some people think that just because you have a business that you have money right. and you don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't actually. You have
probably the opposite.
You probably have exactly. You probably have more money than me coming in.
Right.
So, and also letting folks know that, you know, if you want to see people like us sustain, then you need to you need to invest in and yeah. you know and purchase. So it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to hold ourselves to a certain standard and provide, you know, healthy food and, you know, make sure that we're working with good farmers and, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that, you know, we're, you know, good ethical people. But also folks should come in not expecting just because we're Black to give them the hookup.
Sure.
Like those days should be like long gone.
I think we're on the verge of it being over.
Yeah.
It's getting
people,
there.
Yeah.
Try to talk you down off your price.
Right.
Right. Not in 2000.
Right.
And you know what? Let this be a message. We're leaving that in 2018 officially.
Yeah. Right.
2000, we're going to give you another month.
Look, I'm good, especially coming from nightlife and people want to ask for the guest list. So I'm good at telling people no.
No.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
nope.
Nah.
Right.
Nope. Wrapping this up, though, like everything you guys have said is just all gems. Just Anayo and I.
Diamonds.
I mean, Wokeland is our thing. Our podcasting is our business, and we have merch. So everything you guys touched on today, we can totally and will implement in guiding us forward. And mm-hmm. we are happy to be investors in all three of your businesses.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to shout out where people can find you, your social media, please feel free to do that.
And yeah. one business tip you would give to like a new entrepreneur.
Yeah, we need it.
I would say go with your passion. You know, like Keba said, the money's going to come, you know, money's going to come eventually, we hope.
Yeah.
but do what you actually really believe in, you know, and something that you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, because when you hit that brick wall, it's going to take passion. That's going to make you knock it down.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's where you tell, you know, the men from the boys, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
is when you hit that brick wall. Who's going to break their full arm trying to knock that wall down?
Because
that's what it's going to take.
Mm.
You know, so that's the advice that I would give. Make sure it's your passion because you're going to come into some very, very hard times and you got to be able to endure. And for me, it was faith in what I was doing that made me endure. And then Solely Vegan, 301 Broadway,
yes.
Downtown Oakland,
mm-hmm.
At Solely Vegan on Instagram.
Yeah, beautiful blues and jazz murals in there too, mm-hmm. by the way. Such, and everyone has like a, and again, I haven't been to Cheney's dispensary yet, but I just wanted to quickly say, I mean, the sanctuary that it is. I mean, even when you just walk in, having the Africa, you know, cut in, on the walls and all of like Louis Armstrong and all these beautiful black influences is really, you know, you can feel it energetically. Mm-hmm.
Sister Rosa Tharpe, look her up.
Okay,
she's
we will.
Incredible.
Yeah. So we thank you guys for that. Yeah, Cheney, if you want to shout out.
Yeah, one word of advice, find a mentor. Mm-hmm. Find a mentor, somebody that you can, that you trust, that can, you know, give you some advice when you might need it, or someone that you can just, you know, confide in when you need it. I think that's very important. I'm actually still seeking it myself.
Me too. I was going to say.
I'm actually still seeking myself.
It's hard,
like,
to find a mentor.
Yeah, yeah. It is, especially, you know, being gender nonconforming and all that. There's certain things that I feel in the business world that, like, I can't discuss with other
sure.
folks.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely find a mentor, somebody that, you know, you trust in, and eat.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Things that, another thing that I need to remind myself to do. But yeah, you can, for events, you can follow Social Life Productions, or at Social Life Productions on Instagram and on Facebook. Town Biz Oakland, all one word, at Town Biz Oakland on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The People's Dispensary, My TPD National, is for the dispensary, and that's the national page, and you can find out all the information of what we're doing. Also www.mytp.com, just for the website and any investment opportunities. And you can find me personally also at _ social life. And I think that's pretty much it. I just want to thank y'all. Like, this is really
yes.
cool.
Yeah,
great company.
Thank you.
I guess my word of advice would be, you know, for new entrepreneurs, it's very tempting to want to go into business with your best friend. Like Oakland.
It can work.
it can work.
We need boundaries, but it can work.
But just a word of caution, you know, and it's tempting, two people, 50-50, or three people, or four people. Anyway, so a lot of times we'll do this because we're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And partnerships are really challenging. They're really challenging, and getting out of them, you know, can also be devastating to the business and, mm-hmm. and to your friendship, mm-hmm. explore other ways to collaborate and work together and associate, and, you know, sharing space and sharing resources, and just, you know, enter partnerships very cautiously.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be, I guess, my word of advice. And most of our, you know, so you could find us Red Bay Coffee, on Instagram, and, you know, we have our roastery is in the Fruitvale district, so, you know, there it's like a big space for events, and you can see the coffee being roasted,
mm-hmm.
and we have a little shipping container spot on Broadway, and now we're on 14th Street at the Alice Collective, and
okay.
a couple of months we'll be showing up in Richmond too. So
I was just reading about that.
So we're on our way to a growth spurt. So
support them, y'all.
Invest.
Support them. Patronize. Like, spend your dollars with us. Like, you will not be disappointed. You'll feel good, and you'll get like an excellent product. Like, obviously everyone here cares about what they're putting out into the world. Like,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, patronize us.
Yeah.